When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello everybody and welcome back to the Triple Jump Podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is Ben.
My name is Peter.
And my name is Ashton.
Hi guys.
Hiya.
How are we all doing today?
Okay.
All right.
Good. Excellent.
That's a lie. Ashton's not all right.
I'm not feeling very well, but I'm okay.
We're going to talk about games and then you'll feel
much better. Mm. Yeah.
And then we're going to record another podcast immediately afterwards.
Yeah, and
our Patreon exclusive one.
Extra
and
better.
So you're going to be stuck in this room with two stinky boys mm-hmm. for about 2 hours.
Yeah.
With no food.
No food.
You've just got, was that water in there?
A little bit of squash.
Little bit of squash.
9 out of 10 doctors recommend if you're feeling just generally unwell, sit in a room for 2 and a bit hours with a bit of squash.
Yeah.
Little bit of squash.
Just a little bit of squash.
I don't really know what else to talk about at this point.
Talk about something?
Yeah, you got any anecdotes for us?
It's not about video games, but it's something I've been thinking about this week. And my boyfriend said it was potentially the stupidest thing I've ever said.
Okay.
Is that...
Peter and I are like, okay, you're right.
This is going to be really
stupid.
It's going to be pretty flippin' stupid.
I have a theory, and I tweeted about this, that owning a Mini is an inherited trait because I have never seen...
I saw your tweet and I didn't understand.
A person whose like, parent owns a Mini who doesn't want a Mini as their first car. Like, there's never just one Mini. There's always two Minis in the family.
Okay.
So if your mum wants a Mini, there is a good chance that you will inherit the trait that you also want to drive a car.
I sort of conform to that trait in that my dad's first, I think it was his first car, certainly one of his first cars was a classic old Mr. Bean kind of Mini. Mm. I don't think it was sort of lime green, but... And I always wanted a Mini as my first car. I never actually got one, but yeah.
Like that, and Fiat 500s is the same. Mm. Like if someone's mum has a Fiat 500, being a Fiat 500 girly is an inherited trait.
Okay.
And he said, and Ben said to me, that is potentially the most ridiculous thing you've ever said. And I was like, I've literally been thinking about this all week. And there's one house I walk past on my way to work that has two Minis. And I'm like, that's what's inspired this. Because I thought, I've never seen just the one Mini.
Inherited trait is it makes more sense than if you'd said it's genetic.
It's genetic.
There is a gene for wanting a Mini.
The mini gene. I think that this may not be untrue. However, it's a case of, I can't remember the specific term for it, but when you make connections between things that are
confirmation bias or something.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Horoscope BS kind of stuff. But it's an interesting one.
It's what I've been thinking about.
At least a few people will be listening to this and going, yeah.
Yeah.
I know someone, because I do actually know someone where there were at least three Minis.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
Driven by the daughter and the...
Yeah. But then it's easy to... It probably would be easy to find lots of people where someone... A parent has had a Mini and their child has not necessarily wanted one. But it's just... Yeah. The tendency is to go, look... Three Minis.
Yeah.
That proves it.
We're sponsored by Mini today.
No, we're not.
That's a lie. We're actually sponsored by a very real video game adjacent sponsor that helps us keep the lights on. I did have a look around when I came in. I don't know where Dead Island 2 the Spider has gone. He's not up there anymore. I don't think he's down. There's still that kind of dead one down there, yeah. But that was there last week.
I'm being harassed by a big spider in my house, like one of those big, brown, horrible ones.
Oh, I thought Kieran took care of
that. There was a second one last night, crawled across my front room.
Did you make
Kieran
come and get rid of your spider?
I thought about it. I thought I have to organise a reason for everyone to come over to my house so that someone can come and kill the spider.
And then you just shoo everyone out the front door.
When we all came over, yeah.
Get out.
So we don't know where the spider is. I think I choose to believe he's gone through a light fixture up there.
But we do have, rather than a spider, we do have a sponsor, which is right here.
Very similar words.
Yeah, they are basically the same word. Did you know there's a big convention that's just happened recently where a lot of creators have got together somewhere in America?
Why weren't we there?
Because we're not creators, I guess. We're just.
I think we could have been there, but it was in America.
It was in America, so it's a long way away. Anyway, I don't know if I would have fancied it because basically they all just got in a room, they took all their like t-shirts off so they were bare skin, and then put on like just sort of horrible like grandma woolly jumpers.
Oh god!
And then they just like rolled around in like ant hills.
Yeah.
Someone had like brought a bag of mosquitoes there.
Yeah.
Anyway. It's flipping itch-con. Poison ivy.
Yeah.
Itch-con. It happened. Someone broke their back. And that's basically it.
They were so itchy.
Yeah, they were going.
They just wanted a different kind of pain.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, no. I'm now no longer sad I couldn't make it to Itch-con, which is a real shame.
Itch-con.
Yeah.
I feel genuinely a little bit itchy now.
Yeah, it's made my back tingle.
It's coming.
Yeah, itch. Yeah, I was thinking of words that rhyme with Twitch, you know, because it's not real, by the way.
Oh, beans.
One of the first ones that came to mind was GlitchCon. I was like, oh, no, I can't do that.
Glitch, what is
Glitch?
It? For those, that's a deep pull from Peter and I's employment 4 years ago. If you aren't familiar, there was going to be some kind of gaming festival in Newcastle called Glitch.
Mm.
And we were invited to represent our then employer, the Yogscast, along with Hat Films, to come up and like just do some stuff on stage for a bit. And we're like, great, that's awesome. We moved from Newcastle. It'd be a nice excuse to go back to Newcastle and see people and do stuff. And then it was just kind of a mystery show that kept getting delayed and people kept getting pulled. And it was, they had these adverts where the people who were going to be involved were going, Glitch, what is it? Like sort of, it very much felt like university level kind of advertising.
Right.
And so, yeah, we would kind of take the mick out of it a little bit.
And it never happened.
It never happened. No, so Glitch. Will it happen?
When is it? No, Glitch. It's cancelled.
Yeah, Glitch it isn't. But no, we're not sponsored by Glitch or Itch. We are, of course, sponsored by our wonderful patrons over at patreon.com/teamtriplejump, where for as little as $1 per month, you can support this podcast. You can ask questions on this podcast. There's loads of other tiers available as well, including getting access to our bonus After Dark podcast, where we talk about everything but games. Did you enjoy that little conversation about minis? How about an entire podcast about conversations like that?
Yeah.
Support us on Patreon if you can. We know there's a cost of living crisis, but if you can, we'd appreciate it. Mm. We appreciate all of you.
Thank you so much.
Question one.
It's from Conroy Milk, who's becoming a regular question asker.
Mr. Milk.
Mr. Milk. Greetings, BAP. I finally got my hands on Deathloop now that it's arrived on Game Pass, and I absolutely loved it. However, the thought of replaying it and having to redo all puzzles and steps makes me feel a little bit sick. Are there any games that you love that you just can't bring yourself to replay for whatever reason? Much love, Conroy Milk.
Thanks, Mr. Milk.
Thank you, Mr. Milk. I struggled a little bit to think of a game that I really love, but also makes me feel sick and to the point that I don't want to play it. I could think of things that kind of were in both camps, but not quite. So the best answer I came up with is probably Kingdom Hearts. The first Kingdom Hearts game I did really enjoy at the time. I think I played it a few times as a child. I say child, probably a teenager, however old I was when it came out. But it's just very big. And it's a bit bloated, even before they did all the weird sequels and prequels and quid pro quoquels.
Sidequels.
But it is a lot of fun. I like the combat. I like the graphical style. I like the music. I like all the worlds and stuff. So, yeah, it's a really good game. But it's just very big and long, and you can already sort of notice it going a little bit wanky as it progresses.
Can you, do you want any other sexual metaphors in there? Or
wanky's not a sexual metaphor.
Well, it was so big and long, and then it was wanky.
Oh,
and,
right.
Yeah. I was just waiting for it.
I didn't notice the big and long, girth. But girthy. It's girthy.
Wanky.
But it's also wanky. So okay. That's why it makes me feel sick.
Oh.
Ashton?
I don't feel sick at the thought of going back to any games. I just have this really fun habit of, as soon as I finish a game, it completely leaves my mind and I no longer have the desire to play it, even if I really enjoyed it. Like with Kena and Stray, I have stuff I need to finish for the trophies and stuff, but I just can't bring myself to play it again because I'm like, I've already played it. I don't need to play it again. It's kind of how I feel with movies. Like if I've watched a movie once, I really have to be in the mood to watch it again.
The mood fee.
The mood fees, exactly. I did the same with... Hello? What? Oh my God.
A little bit of squash.
The little frog that lives in Ashton just sort of tried to escape.
No. I'm scared to talk. Deathloop, I did the same where I finished the game and then I was like, there's all this stuff that it wants me to do, but I'm not going to do it. Hey, I've finished the game now. It's done. I did the same with Horizon Zero Dawn the first time I played it. I finished it and I was like, wow, what a really good game. Mm. I'm never playing this again because I loved it so much the first time. But I did eventually pick it back up when the sequel came out. So I have to have a reason to play games again. And most of the time, I don't have one of those. So if I don't get all the trophies in the first time playing it, hey, I'm not getting all the trophies.
It's over, baby.
It's over, baby.
I'm not playing you again.
So yeah.
Ben. Oh, I've boiled mine down into sort of three slightly different categories because I am never really made to feel that sick, like Ashton, about replaying a game. And a lot of these examples I'm about to give, some of them I do have the platinum in. So at the time I played them for the first time, I did then, in all likelihood, have to play them through immediately afterwards to get trophies. But obviously that's a very different kind of playthrough. I'm listening to podcasts. I've got the TV and I'm watching Netflix or something. I've got the sound turned all the way down and I'm following a guide or something. So I don't really consider that a second playthrough. But even so, I've got big games that take a lot of time to finish, like The Witcher 3. Mm. I have no desire to play that again, even though I really enjoyed The Witcher 3. And when the PS5 version comes out, I'll not play it there either, as nice as that will be. Games I overplayed / the grind to the platinum put me off. Skyrim. Yeah. Loved it. Still find Skyrim very appealing. Like just to watch other people play. I'm interested in Skyrim, and I've said on this podcast before about how there have been a couple of occasions where I've thought, you know what, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna play. Like, I very nearly bought Skyrim recently on PS5. And then I didn't. And I'm glad I didn't because I've got too much to play anyway. But that's definitely the epitome of the platinum ruined the game for me. Mm-hmm. Played it way too much. Smaller games I enjoyed the first time through that I don't feel the need to revisit, like Oxenfree.
Mm.
A game where that I did actually do one stream on a few weeks ago. But,
and it got muted because...
Yeah, it got muted because of the music, soundtrack. Yeah. The entire VOD got muted. So that's fantastic. But yeah, those kinds of games I would consider, like Kena or Stray, which again, I did play a lot in that first period to get the platinum, but I will never replay that. I'll never go back to those games now. I consider those games done. I'm done with those. So yeah, those are how I would break it down.
Mm. I've thought of another category that is something that I would definitely suffer from, which is games that make me feel sick before I even get around to playing. Okay. Even though I can tell that they're really good and that I will enjoy them.
Yeah.
That's something I kind of have a lot more than games that I have played and enjoyed. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to necessarily replay it, make me feel sick. It's more like, It's what we've been talking about probably for the past two or three podcasts, it feels like, where it's just big worlds and, you know, the Ubisoft thing. It's not always, it's not just Ubisoft, but that's, you know, the go-to example. So, yeah.
Well, Ashton, it's time to move on to something we've never done before.
Yeah, and hopefully if the frog stays down in my throat, I'll be able to talk more. It's time to talk about, in the segment, what we're playing.
Oh. It's what we play in time. Time to talk about what video games we've been playing this week. Peter, what video games have you been playing? this week.
I've played a couple of video games this week. I played some Lego Brick Tales. Which we did a quipscope on. Me and Ashton have chatted about that. I played it a little bit more since.
Was that
then
an in
well.
Joke from the from
no,
the
quipscope like Tales?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I know that, but that
but yeah,
is
we
that
did
why
it
you were quipscope?
Yeah.
Right,
okay. Well.
Yeah, it's fine. Didn't want to be a part of the jokes.
That's all right. I don't know if you've had chance to. Well, evidently not had chance to watch the quipscope, Ben. But,
I'll get to it today.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
Yeah.
But what you might like to know is that as much as I am very much enjoying the lovely little building Lego in little diorama.
Diorama.
Which is what you get if you drink bad water.
Oh, I've got diorama.
Yeah. Or eat Dominoes. I'm liking all of that whole aspect to it. It was clearly just part of the brief when they came up with this game. It's, you know, going to be a nice, tranquil building game. That's all great. The controls are just absolute dog plops.
Oh, no. Were they really?
Well, the controls in the little building zone are, anyway. So you wander around these little dioramas having a nice time, and the controls are fine in that. Apart from the fact that you can't rotate the camera. I didn't talk about this in the quipscope, actually. But so you can't rotate the camera. It's fixed camera, pretty much like isometric. But then if you go around the back of stuff, then the camera will like zoom around to the other side of the cube or whatever, which is fine. But in order to find pathways sometimes and actually see that you can get behind stuff and round stuff, you need to be able to see the whole cube. So you can have a look at the whole cube, but you have to pause the game and then it zooms out and then you have this like free cam that you can like look around the whole thing at. And it's like, well, why not just give me in-game camera controls? Why make me pause it to rotate the world? Anyway, but yeah, no, the real issue is that when you're building your little bridges or, you know, cars and stuff that you have to build to solve puzzles and cross gaps and stuff, it's really, really bad. And fortunately, having now played it a little bit more since we did the quipscope, I am getting used to it. And although it is still objectively bad, it's now kind of usable for me because I've got my head around how it works, or indeed how it doesn't work. So I'm now having pretty much a good time with it and not feeling negatively affected by this, but anyone who picks it up for the first time will probably have exactly the same experience as me, which is, oh, this feels really strange. And yeah, the reviews that I've read pretty much say the same thing, that like every other aspect of it is really good. It's just this building mechanic that is kind of terrible. So that's a shame, given that it's a Lego game about building things to solve puzzles. Anyway, I played that. I'm still enjoying it, and I'll probably finish it. I might even stream it, actually, because it's that kind of game. And I've also been playing quite a lot of Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance 2, which thing I mentioned on the previous podcast. I realized that they'd released that now, re-released it. The first one was re-released early this year or late last year, and I had a good time playing that through. I really enjoyed both of those games back in the day on the PS2. And yeah, they sort of quietly put the second one out. So I've been having a good time with that. I don't know why I like that game, because actually there's not much to it. And I mean that as a criticism as much as it's kind of a good thing anyway, because I think there must be something about it that, because I really enjoy it, even though it's very just hack and slash. So you're just like dropped down into a world and then you make your way through and you basically just attack enemies, and that's kind of all you do. But I think there's certainly a nostalgic aspect that keeps it appealing to me. And I think it looks graphically quite impressive for the time. And just like the music, and I think I just like the gameplay loop to it. I think you don't have to think too much about it, and you get in there, and you're constantly getting loot all the time. And if you fill up your inventory and get over encumbered, you can immediately just fast travel to the merchant with like a special potion and sell all your stuff and then fast travel back to where you were. So there's not even that kind of annoying aspect to picking up loot. So you just pick up everything you want, sell it, and get a little bit of a dopamine rush every time. So I think it's just that. Even though you're mostly just slashing your way through enemies, there's just constantly gold and like nice glowing weapons and stuff. So it's just a nice little thing to sit down to, sit down and unwind to. So, yeah,
nice.
I'm enjoying that as well. Ashton, what have you been playing?
Well, Peter, I've been playing two things this week. I played some more Saints Row in co-op, and every
How's
time...
How's that go?
It's, man, that game, so
still
good.
Just Saints Rowing.
Just Saints Rowing. My boyfriend says that he thinks I like it because it's just mindless rubbish. And I was like, yes, I think you're right.
Have you got yourself a mini in the game yet?
I haven't got myself a mini, but I have got myself a bus, like a coach. Okay.
And that's your vehicle.
That is my vehicle.
But they're so slow.
So slow, so hard to drive.
You can't drift with them, not really.
You can't. Well, I have a bunch of other cars as well, but okay. I also have a coach and I keep driving.
That's your
I keep
car.
Bringing out the Venga bus, and my horn on it is the human sound horn.
I don't think I've heard that.
So
that
you can change the horn, and it's just some guy going, or like. Or just like making horn sounds,
that's
like doing
really
that, and it makes me laugh every time. I'm just sat there like pressing the horn button, and Ben's like, "Can we just? What are we doing?" I don't know. Sorry. And I've also been playing Disney Dreamlight Valley still. Yeah. Basically, my current favorite thing to do in the evening is go home, put on more Criminal Minds, and play Disney Dreamlight Valley. And
sounds pretty good.
It's a really good evening. But the thing is, I'm a bit annoyed because at myself mainly, because I was like 30 hours into the game and I only just found out and realized that I can build chests and store stuff. Like, I thought that I only had like two rows of storage, because when you go in your house, there's a little chest that says house storage and it's just got like two rows, and to upgrade it, you need to pay like £200,000. And I was like, I haven't got that much. I've never even seen that much money. And so I was like, damn. So I get to like getting rid of all of my resources or just dumping stuff on the floor. And my inventory kept getting full up with like quest items that I couldn't get rid of or like drop on the floor. So I was like, man, how do I don't understand. How have I not this much storage? And then I realized that any like storage device that you get given, like furniture wise, like Scrooge gives you a safe and you get like wardrobes and stuff, they can all be used to store stuff in. They all have two rows of storage. So I now have like 10 chests and various things that are just full of like ingredients and like resources and stuff that I need for crafting.
Do you feel bad about all the stuff you've thrown
yeah,
away?
Yeah, I actually was really annoyed when I figured that out. And I was like, why am I so dumb?
Do you find it really tedious or sort of kind of... enjoyable to sort each of your things into different, or is it just everything's just been chucked in willy-nilly, or is it organized?
I have like some like the food chests and then like the resource chests, but I do keep finding myself just starting new stacks in different chests,
right?
Because I can't be asked to find the one that I already started, because it will just, if you, no matter where you are, if you go to any of like the kitchens or the crafting tables that you've put around, it will just draw in anything that's in a chest. So any chest that you've got, you don't have to have, unless it's a quest, you don't have to have it in your inventory. So you can just go around and just cook stuff or whatever in anything, and it'll just suck it in from wherever it is, which is pretty good. But yeah, I was kind of annoyed that I only just figured that out. But now I've got the last character that's currently available, and I'm getting him to level 10, and I've got to finish his quests. And then the only other quests are the one that's broken. So
where something's stuck in a wall?
Yeah, I was going to say, is Moana giving you your
no, it's
pieces
still
of eight
still
yet?
Stuck in a table. Yeah. I still can't get it out, and they still haven't put a fix for that.
Even though they haven't, didn't you say last week that they've said they're aware of
they're that, aware of it, but they haven't really done any like hot fixes, so there's still loads of bugs. So there was one other quest where I needed to get Wall-E and Ariel to talk to each other, and they wouldn't do that. So I had to go on the Reddit and find out if anyone else had a similar issue. And it's basically because I'd put a house in the exact position that like they needed to have the conversation, and they wouldn't just go somewhere else, so I had to move the house to a different place so that they would have a conversation.
Did
and
you
like
attach
finish
it to a
quest.
Load of balloons or something?
No.
I think it's really weird that the method of characters giving you items is for them to just throw it on the floor rather than them just do an animation where they go, here you go, and then it's in your inventory. Yeah.
They do that.
Well, how's it stuck in the floor?
Well, if it's a memory,
I'm sorry.
So an item, they'll just do this. And then it'll like appear in your inventory.
Okay. But a memory.
A physical item will be added to your body straight away.
But
yeah.
a memory,
which is a non-physical
is stuck
item.
In a table.
An orb that will like pop out of some things.
Yeah.
And that you can go over and press X on and interact with.
Does it have physics on it?
Memory.
So it'll like roll off stuff? Or does
it just
plop in front of them?
It just kind of plops wherever.
And
it
just so happened that Moana was facing the table.
It was Maui's fault. Maui, for some reason, whenever he goes into Scrooge's shop, will stand behind the desk. And right. I went and talked to him and I didn't think it was going to be an issue. And he just spaffed out the memory straight into the table. Oh, and I was like, no. Me and Maui are actually in a fight. Every time I see him, I get annoyed at him because he's always in the way and he's like stands.
He's a big dude.
He's like, exactly. He's massive. He can't help it. And also he's like a wall. Like you can't get around him. Everyone else you can kind of push out the way. But for some reason, you can't push Maui. Oh, so he just stands there taking up all of the room.
Such a strange world or experience
hearing
to describe
this out
like,
of context.
Oh yeah, I had to get
weird.
Wally and Ariel to talk to each other, but there was a house and there
was in the way.
And I like how you're on first name terms with Scrooge McDuck. Yeah, I've never Scrooge. Heard anyone not also include his surname, but you're like, oh yeah, you go and talk to Scrooge. And
me and the S-man were chewing the fat.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
Mr. McDuck.
I'm probably going to stop playing this game when I get Eric to level 10 until they bring out new Disney
and
powers,
right,
and then I'll
there.
Probably go straight back into it. So, that's what I've been playing this week.
Nice. I have three things I've played this week. I finished off Horizon Forbidden West and I got the Platinum Trophy in that over the weekend. I stayed up to watch the wrestling over the weekend and I didn't pay any attention to it at all. I was just grinding out trophies in Horizon Forbidden West instead. I don't like the training or the hunting grounds. I think they're boring and rubbish.
The training grounds are the ones with the melee combat, aren't
they? I think so, yeah.
I found that really
annoying.
Excuse me.
And then the hunting grounds make you do weirdly specific things that I found really frustrating. Yeah. Fortunately, there's only one of them dedicated to stealth because that was... I was I was doing this after I'd already finished the story. It felt very condescending. Like, this is not my play style. Oh, no, don't let the small, tiny robot spot you or you fail. Right. And you don't just get teleported back to the person who gives it to you. You have to walk back out of the arena while all these guys are fighting you, talk to that person, cancel it, and then do it again. That was
rubbish.
Really annoying. Yeah. On the whole, though, very much enjoyed Horizon Forbidden West. I thought the story, as I've mentioned before, really held up when compared to the first game. I found it just as intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't so much jump the shark towards the end of the game, but it does sort of go a bit wild.
Yeah.
And it almost in a way made me feel like everything that I was working towards kind of didn't matter anymore.
Yeah, it sets up the third one and it's kind of
it
like...
It does, but it kind of undoes what you were even trying to do in the second game. Or at least it doesn't show you the positive outcome of what you achieve at the end of the story,
really.
I don't think, which would have been nice to see, to be honest.
But I mean, there wasn't really like a negative impact of the thing that was happening in the game. Like, it's happening, but the only real place where it's an issue is this one very specific part of the map.
Yes.
And you basically are just like stopping them from going any further and doing any more damage.
Is this vague conversation nice and helpful for you?
Yeah. If you've played the game, it makes sense.
Yeah. I just felt like the purpose of the story until it takes a huge turn is to do a certain thing. You accomplish the certain thing regardless of the big twist and turn.
Yeah.
But you don't really see any of the positive outcome of the thing that you accomplished. And I think it would have been nice to see that because it would have made it feel like I accomplished something a bit more than I did. But it doesn't matter. It does set up the third game.
I also got one very angry message from Ben about one very specific part of the game that will
ruin
it. That they like basically just don't show the thing that you're like, oh, I really want to see this. And they just like...
They tease a really cool thing. And
they
then
do a cutscene where they're like, you don't get to see
it. It all happens off screen.
Oh.
It's like, sweet. But again, those were just some things I didn't enjoy as much. But I had a great time with Forbidden West. Mm-hmm. And I don't intend to go around and do any of the additional side quests or really live in that world. I just did the story, ticked off the boxes I needed to. Had
a
great time.
Did you find Talana?
And that was it. Who?
Talana from the first game.
No, I don't know who that is. I don't know who
Why?
That is.
Who's Talana's the one who threw the memory into the
Talana's the one that was part like head of the hunting lodge in the first game. She got her own comic book series.
Okay.
And I can't remember the name of her character, like what her like title is, but you meet her in the first game. And she's you're her fledgling in the hunting grounds thing.
Oh. I don't remember. I don't remember. This was part of my problem when I started Forbidden West. these characters were showing up. I was like, I don't know who you, I've forgotten who you are. It's been so long. I have no, it's been 5 years. I don't know who you are. I've forgotten everyone. But I did end up getting, finding her friendship group a little more appealing as the game went on. Like they do a pretty good job. Like of I said,
they give you and her like the same kind of arc of being like, fine, you, I guess you're right.
Yeah, I suppose I'll have friends then. But yeah, great game. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Worth playing. IMO. I then got the platinum in Little Orpheus, which was literally just a case of replaying the game and picking up the orbs that are now in there. I was following
memory
a guide.
Orbs?
Turns out, yes, I was following the guide. Turns out the orbs are literally just because it's you go left or right.
Yeah,
they're literally
they're
just in your path. They're not hidden at all. So it was just that, and also wearing some of the costumes you unlock as a result of getting a certain amount of these orbs in specific levels. Unfortunately, you unlock the costumes way before you are meant to wear them in later levels. So it's literally just a second playthrough. Which
did you have to play the DLC level?
I did, and you know what? I did that bit, the difficulty spike bit, first time. So I'm wondering if it's definitely punishing, but I'm wondering if maybe because I was playing it at like playing it at 2 a.m. the first time, I may
and
have struggled
a bit
with it.
And compared to a game that basically has zero difficulty whatsoever, other than I dropped off a few ledges, but you know, it's not a difficult game.
No, it's not. Yeah. It's just timing. The last thing that I have started is The Last of Us Part 1, which I borrowed from a friend.
The remake.
And it is The Last of Us. It's The Last of Us. I don't know what to say. Like it is The Last of Us.
Can you taste the difference, or is it one of those where it just feels like this is how I remember it being?
I got like 2 hours in, and then I realized I'm just playing The Last of Us again. I'm just playing The Last of Us again. Now, don't get me wrong. It looks fantastic. Mm. They brought it up to par with The Last of Us Part 2's graphics. You could no longer. There was definitely a difference when gameplay would shift to cutscene. You could tell the difference. Now it's on. There's parity between the two. Mm. There's lots of attentions to detail as well. Like there was a bit where someone was wearing a backpack. They were leaning against the bonnet of a car, and their backpack was like depressing in against their back rather than just sort of goat clipping through the car or whatever. That's just like, that's silly attention to detail, quite frankly, but impressive. This is going to be sold in a double pack with The Last of Us Part 2 by the time the TV show comes out. That's what this is. I still absolutely cannot justify spending full price on buying this. That makes no sense to me at all. But it is the best version of one of the most important games ever made. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, it sure does exist. But at the moment, it does just feel like now that the, wow, it looks really nice, has worn off. Mm. I'm just playing it again. Mm. I'm just playing I last played it in 2020, and I remember most of it. So,
see, I've not played it since, I don't think I played it since I first played it. Or maybe I played it twice, but a long time ago. So I'm kind of looking forward to playing it, actually, and just having a little refresher and going through it again. I'll get a bit more out of it.
It's great. You know, I can't fault it. The only thing I can fault about the... I can't fault how the game plays or looks. All I can fault is its price and its necessity.
Existence,
of existing at all. So there we are. That's what I'm playing. I'm about like 4 or 5 hours into that. So
I saw a clip of the last of the new one, and it was the bit where Henry and Sam, who you might remember, there's like that whole situation. And I was like, Sam looks completely different. Like the young boy looks totally different. The adult, he looks the same as he did in the other one. But I was looking and I was like, this character is just a completely different guy. Like this kid is different kid. But obviously I know that Ellie looks different because she looks like the second game Ellie, not first game Ellie. But I was just looking at him and I was like, who's this weirdo? Who are you? Who are you?
I'm not mad at anything that they've done in the game. Again, all of my issues just exist with its existence. I am literally just playing through The Last of Us again, and it looks nicer. That's kind of it. I don't even think it plays any differently necessarily. Like I don't know, because they changed, did they change the controls ever so slightly for The Last of Us Part 2? I can't remember. They might have shifted them.
I think I saw that on one of the trailers or something.
They've certainly changed some stuff, but it's honestly not enough of a difference for me to have noticed it. Mm. So there we are.
Yeah.
That's a game. Let's move on to question two.
Yes, comes from Rock Reese. Bappers.
Hello.
Game Pass has finally had to reveal its profit. I was in the same camp as Ben thinking there's no way they're making a profit from Game Pass. And if they are, it can't be that big. So imagine my surprise hearing about a single year revenue of 2021 being Dr. Evilfinger. $2.9 billion. I'd say Game Pass has already left an impression and mark on the industry at this point, but in the light of this news, do you think we're definitely going to see everyone else go in hard on this kind of service now? Thanks, Rock Reese.
Thanks, Rock Reese.
Ben would like to pick a bone.
We've got some clarification.
We do have some important clarification. I'm going to read from a GameSpot article now about this exact thing, just so we can get a bit more context. Xbox Game Pass revenue has always been a mystery, and Microsoft's been quiet on how its subscription service performs. But in a series of legal documents related to the Microsoft-Activision-Blizzard merger, first uncovered by Tweaktown, we have a number for the first time. Xbox Game Pass for consoles generated $2.9 billion in revenue in 2021. Specifically, this number was revealed in Brazil's Administrative Council for Economic Defense approval of the Microsoft Activision Blizzard merger, one of the first regulatory bodies to give its sign off. The document mentions game subscription services, but never mentions Game Pass outright. Xbox gaming overall earned $16.28 billion in 2021, wow, which means Game Pass generated around 20% of total 2021 revenue. This revenue also only counts Xbox Game Pass for consoles and not earnings from PC subscriptions. Mm-hmm. Note that this is revenue only and not profit. So it's not an extremely clear metric of how Xbox Game Pass performed in 2021. There is a lot of confusion, and it's not Rock Reese's fault.
No.
Rock Reese says they've had to reveal its profits at the start, but with the $2.9 billion, Rock Reese does say revenue.
Yes, profit is revenue is the amount of money that Game Pass earned. Profit is how much they made based on their outgoing.
I don't personally think they're going to have spent anywhere close to $2.9 billion on it.
I don't know about that necessarily. I think that...
you think they spent more than $2.9 billion?
Well, if you think about the amount... Right, okay, so here's the thing, right? Okay. I love Game Pass. This is not a critic. A lot of people think that when I say this, I'm criticizing Game Pass.
Right.
I'm not. I think Game Pass is fantastic. However, no one else has Microsoft money but Microsoft.
Yeah.
Right? They can afford to do this. But when you take into consideration the amount that games take to produce, and when Microsoft are producing exclusives, for example, and then they're eschewing the traditional model of trying to recoup those expenditures by selling it, and they're just putting it onto Game Pass for, not free, but you know what I mean, for a very low month, a very, very low monthly subscription.
For money people are already paying in a lot of cases.
Exactly, to get access to additional things as well.
Yeah.
Then they've got to eat all of that cost and hope that they make it back from loads and loads of these Game Pass subscriptions. Mm-hmm. Then they're also paying external publishers and developers money to get their games onto Game Pass. And when you consider that, that is going to add up to an awful lot of money. Mm. So while $2.9 billion is a lot of money, and that's a great sign for Game Pass, we still have no idea how much money they're actually spending on Game Pass.
And so there's also the infrastructure as well, the servers, of course, and the... You know.
Yeah. So we simply do not know what the profit margins are at the moment, if there are any. If there are, brilliant. I think Game Pass is fantastic. But if there aren't, then we cannot take this number as proof that Game Pass is doing well necessarily. We don't know that yet. These court documents are very interesting, and we may end up learning more, especially as Sony and Microsoft are just slinging mud at each other at the moment over the UK regulatory board. It's getting real messy, but there's a very big difference between revenue and profit. Mm-hmm. However, going on to the second part of the question, what do you think, Peter? Do you think other companies are going to follow?
Well, soon? I was just going to say, before we move on to that, that I was live on Twitch when I first heard this story or this headline, and someone came into the chat and said Xbox Game Pass has had to reveal its profit. It has made $2.9 billion of profit.
Right.
And because I was live on the internet, I didn't necessarily take in the number itself And my response was, oh, that's good for them that they've made a lot of profit. Mm. Great, brilliant. If I'd stopped for a minute and thought, hang on, they made $3 billion profit, then I might have realized
everyone should not be doing right. This.
Yeah. So I stand by the answer I gave on in chat on Twitch about this, even though I didn't have the right information to say so, which is that if they have made a good profit, then good for them. Mm. You know, I do hope it inspires more services elsewhere or makes the likes of, for example, PlayStation feel that they should up their game in this scene as well. But it is very difficult to say, you know, as that article says, and as you've said, Ben, it's not necessarily a useful metric if we don't have any idea how much money they're actually spending on creating and producing Game Pass and all of its associated products. Because if it's costing them $4 billion, then they've lost $1 billion on Game Pass, which is like a bad thing. And maybe everyone will think, well, yeah, we clearly don't want to go for that model. We want to stick with, you know, whatever we're doing, you know, a smaller version of it. So all I can say is I hope that they have made a nice, tidy profit, because in that sense, competition is always good for the consumer, or usually good for the consumer. And maybe it will be tempting for other large publishers or console manufacturers to say, hey, yeah, we want to get on this. We want to up the competition. It's just hard to say with this number. Mm. People have made a big deal out of it. And until we know the profit, it's not so useful.
I'm in two minds about this question, because part of me doesn't want Xbox Game Pass to have a monopoly on this kind of format and have the ability to just keep upping the prices if, you know, they are losing $1 billion and they say, actually, it'll be £20 a month now instead of £10 a month. However, I also don't want everyone to have their own Game Pass. Mm. Like, I don't want to have a TV streaming situation with games. Like, I don't want to have to pay for, like, you know, Ubisoft. I mean, they already have their own thing, but I don't want to have to play for Ubisoft, for PlayStation, for Game Pass, for whoever else. I can't think of a single other developer right now. They've gone. Nintendo. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, that's sort of Xbox,
I was going to say Activision. Yeah. I was like, it doesn't count anymore.
Or will it be?
But yeah, I don't want to have to pay the same amount of like money for everything. Like, I don't think that PlayStation Plus extra premium whatever is worth paying the money for. The only time I play for PlayStation Plus is for bare minimum, just so like I can use PlayStation Plus. But for the most part, like, I have no need for every other publisher to just have one, because as much as maybe they might look at this and be like, yeah, nice, we can make $2.9 billion, unless you're going to be as open as Game Pass is to accepting pretty much any game that they can get their hands on onto the platform, then I'm not interested. Like, I don't want just a Ubisoft platform, because I don't play that enough Ubisoft games, and I will not have the time to play enough Ubisoft games to make it worthwhile. So yeah, as much as I would love more platforms that I can just pay a subscription and get more games for cheaper, I don't want everyone to do that. So I don't have an answer, because I'm like, I don't want this, but also I guess maybe, but also no.
Yeah.
So yeah,
I think Sony have already said that they're not going to adopt a model like this because it's incompatible with their style of development or something, which I think essentially boils down to, we do not have the money to develop these games and put them out on a Game Pass model.
We can't
afford to do that. Microsoft is in a unique position where they want this to happen. And if they were losing $1 billion on this, on Game Pass a year, I wouldn't be surprised, because they are the only company that can brute force this to be successful if they want. They can throw money at it until it is profitable. And if it is profitable already, great. If it isn't, doesn't matter. They can keep doing it until it is. Because, you know, it's such a revolutionary and game-changing approach to game distribution that it's it was always going to take a while to catch on, for bigger publishers to sign up to it, for it to be adopted, you know, across the board by consumers from every background. But it's a very, very expensive thing to get started at all. And so I wouldn't be surprised if Game Pass, business-wise, had like a 10-year plan or something behind the scenes where they're like, we're going to eat crap for like 6 years and then it's going to start making a profit, and then we can do this forever and just make money and loads of bloody money. So I wouldn't be shocked if that's what the situation is there. Nintendo probably can't afford to do something like this. PlayStation have basically said they can't afford to do something like this. And you're right, Ashton, premium and extra should probably just be one tier because I'm confused about the differences between them and I have no interest in them at all. So that has missed the mark as far as I'm concerned. If you can't sell me on it, and I love PlayStation, so, you know, that needs to change. But I don't think, especially with the ambiguity about the relevance of this figure pertaining to profits, that any company would look at that and go, wow, we should do that. Because if it was 2.9 billion in profit, imagine how much, if it was 2.9 billion in profit, just imagine how much money had to be spent to get there in the first place. And how many companies can afford to do that? Not many. It's pretty much just Microsoft. Yeah, that's kind of it, really, as far as I'm concerned. I do agree with you, though, Ashton, about the fact that I don't want there to be a million different subscription services that I've got to sign up to as well, even if it would ultimately work out cheaper based on my spending habits. I still don't want to feel like I have to be locked into loads of monthly things.
The thought of a load of publishers doing it is not an appealing one. I just quite like the idea of PlayStation, maybe Nintendo, hypothetically, if we're just living in a world where they could afford to do this.
You
know, if they thought, oh, that looks like a nice piece of pie, let's up our game, then that would be a positive thing. But yeah,
I mean,
the thought of all the publishers doing it is not
when you think about it, if, say, seven publishers all had a Game Pass that cost £10 a month, it would still cost you the same amount of money as buying The Last of Us Part 1.
It would.
So,
and I could borrow it for free. You can't borrow digital games.
No. So, you know, who knows what's better for you? One-off purchase for a game for £70 or seven?
Or start a sort of a local gaming co-op where you all pitch in £2 a month and you buy a $69.99 copy of The Last of Us Part 1, and then you draw names out of a hat, and that's the order with which you get to play it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you might have to wait 6 weeks to 7 months, but your name will come out of the hat eventually and then you'll get to play it for £2. So... checkmate.
Yeah.
Game Pass.
Suck it, capitalism. We figured you out.
We got it.
Your move, Sega.
Maybe it doesn't cost money at all. Maybe you will contribute berries and nuts and things that you've grown in your garden.
Cream.
Yeah.
Berries and cream. It's time to move on to something a little peculiar. Isn't that right, Peter?
It's weird news.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's weird news time. Time for some weird video game news. Remember, you can submit your weird video game news to us on social media platforms by commenting under the post on Facebook and replying to the post the tweet on Twitter. If you want to guarantee a shout out at the beginning of Weird News, you can go to patreon.com/teamtriplejump, support us at a certain tier, and become a podcast producer. Who we got?
We've got Nathan.
G.Y. Goliath.
Sean Legg.
Welco.
Nicole Hansen.
Ellie Nicholas.
Erica Hutchinson.
Melody L. Bonet.
Katie Garrett.
And Gabrielle Philippine.
Thank you, podcast producers.
Thank you, podcast producers.
Thank you, everyone.
What you got, Pete?
I've got weird news here that was submitted to the Facebook post, I think, by Anthony Economou.
Do you want to answer it?
No, I don't.
Is it your mum?
No, it's that gym that I inquired about. And now they
rang during Quickscope
me.
As well.
Stop calling
me. They just know you're in here.
This is sent by Anthony Economou, which is a fitting surname, given that this is about Liz Truss.
The economy.
The Eastern Daily Press. In fact, I hope this is a real story and not some sort of spoof news site.
I also saw this news site and thought, is this real?
I didn't check this, whether this is real. This might be fake.
Thinking
about the story, it's very silly, but it could also actually be true.
So is it called Eastern Daily Press? Are you going to check, Ashton?
I'm going to see if anyone else has reported about this.
I didn't think to... Let me look at what else. No, the number one story on Eastern Daily Press is Martin Lewis, should you switch heating on and off?
That sounds...
It is real because Forbes also...
Okay, it's a real story.
Okay. Yeah.
But that sort of gives you an idea ahead of time how weird and fake sounding this is. So Owen Sennett has written this story. Liz Truss becomes star of new video game. For those who don't know, Liz Truss is our prime minister and there are issues over here with the economy and the value of the pound. Partly down to decisions
made by... A prime minister that none of us voted for, by the way.
Her and her secretary. Her secretary. Her chancellor. So here we go. Liz Truss has become the focus point of much of the nation's news coverage since becoming the prime minister. And now, alongside...
Yeah, no. She's the
she
prime
killed
minister.
The queen.
Yeah, she did kill the queen.
And now, that's alongside confirmed. Her turbulent debut as the nation's political leader, the Southwest Norfolk MP has also entered the world of gaming after becoming the star of a new video game. Mm. Was it only last week I did the one about Theresa May?
It was,
yeah.
Yeah,
okay. In Liz Weeks.
Margaret Thatcher.
What did I just say? Theresa May. They're basically the same person, aren't they?
No.
In Liz We Trust, a free web-based 8-bit romp was released on Tuesday and allows gamers to... control, in quotes, Ms. Trust, as she tries to find as many pound coins as she can at the homes of British people to give to the City of London.
Okay, that's good.
It's funny. I like it.
I like it.
Ms. Trust, her character was made by drawing from her cabinet wardrobe with clothing including a blazer gracing Mini Liz. It's a bit strangely worded.
What are you
basically
saying?
Her character's wardrobe was based on stuff she's worn in the cabinet.
Okay.
And a blazer was one of the things that graced Mini Liz.
Right.
As well as the white trainers she wore during an interview with Beth Rigby, which will come in handy as she races through the city to reach her target.
Oh my God, what is this write-up?
However, the sprint is not an easy one, with a flurry of political and banking figures vying to stop
her.
The
anti-growth coalition.
Yes, including Labour leader Sir Keir Starmer, Tory MP Michael Gove, and Governor of the Bank of England, Andrew Bailey. Players will also need to be careful, as they only have 3 lives before it is game over. Tom Gullen, co-founder at Construct, which worked with creative agency Cow and developer Bart Alewin of Lessis Games on the game, said it was conceived and developed in 3 working days at a cost of just £750, which is even less these days than it was before the mini budget. Following the catastrophic fallout from Liz's first weeks in power, we were naturally concerned as a small British business, he added. We thought the best thing we could do was what we do best, with a satirical twist, to put a smile on people's faces in otherwise grim times.
Oh my God.
We are sure it'll be a big hit with everyone across the nation, from Nicola Sturgeon to Rishi Sunak. The game can be accessed at construct.net/ in Liz we trust.
Mm. One of my favourite thing about Liz Truss, and it's probably the only thing I like about her, is the discourse that she has inspired in the kinky community.
Oh, God.
That believe that she is in sub relationship with her husband.
Yeah.
Because the necklace that she wears all the time with the ring on it is very, very similar to a day collar that can be bought on a kink website, which is like a disguised kink collar.
Wow.
And people, unless like a full, yeah, I think I might have liked to retweeted it because I was like reading it. I was like, this is amazing. But I opened TikTok yesterday and the first thing I came up was, is Liz Truss in a dom sub relationship with her husband? And I was like, that's enough TikTok for today.
Brilliant. That is information I do not wish to know.
But now you know it.
Brilliant. Cool. Thank you, Ashton.
I have some news. Thank you,
Peter. You're welcome.
I have some news from JohnnyMac13, at JohnnyMac13 on Twitter. Comes from Kotaku by CC Yang. VTubers banned from YouTube after streaming Splatoon 3 porn.
Oh, no.
Nintendo reposted its content policy after VTubers splattered realistic porn all over a stream. It's quite funny, actually, quite clever. But...
Okay.
The first line of this write-up is, so, awkward.
Awkward.
Apparently, it's possible to display porn within Splatoon 3 matches. This weekend, a group of VTubers broadcasted porn videos in Splatoon 3 by using the ink projectiles as a video screen. The stream caught Splatoon AV, adult video, caused Splatoon AV to trend on Japanese Twitter, and the particular... and the participating VTubing group Sinsogumi issued an apology. It's actually kind of fascinating. I'm actually kind of fascinated by how they went about this. According to Automaton Media, VTuber Sinsogumi made porn appear by setting the ink transparency to zero and then showing a porn video underneath. So in OBS, they put it underneath.
I was going to say, in WWE 2K20, in the career mode, you have a mocap green screen fight. And I think I put Peter underneath as a lair, just a big enlarged Peter face. So that we were just fighting on Peter's face.
Oh, wow.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yes. You can do that. Someone did that in OBS and they broadcasted porn.
Brilliant. Right. So it wasn't an accident then. They were just
And they didn't get it into the game, software.
But they broadcasted Splatoon 3 whilst also every time there was a certain colour of goop,
be able to see through it.
It was porn. Yeah.
Good.
And it was an actual porn. There is a video included in this, but obviously. Nintendo didn't like that and responded by copyright striking one of the most popular AV videos. However, some Robin Hoods of the internet...
Can you just copyright strike?
This is our porn.
Yeah, that doesn't work, does it? You can't just copyright strike people you don't like.
Unless it's their game, I guess, and they were like, this is our...
That seems very petty there.
Seems very Nintendo.
Yeah, it does.
So, however, some Robin Hoods of the internet have preserved clips from the original stream. And then there's a tweet which has it included. As you can see, more parts of the porn video are displayed whenever ink is splattered across the field. An archived tweet from one of the participating VTubers says that it was part of a competition where whichever side got banned from YouTube quicker won or would lose. Kotaku reached out to Sinsogumi but did not receive a response by the time of its publication. There is a one later.
They've been banned.
The group's leader uploaded a video apology for the stream on October 8th. Although her tone is repentant, she did give the apology while wearing a green dinosaur outfit.
Brilliant.
Nintendo seemed to respond to the incident today with the quote, use that violates public order. Use that violates public order and morals. Acts and intentionally misled the rules of the game. Acts that can significantly damage the value of the game or characters in the world. And acts that encourage or take advantage of them will be deleted or legally enforced. Tweeted the official Japanese account. Kotaku reached out to ask if the statement was issued specifically in response to this Splatoon stream, but did not receive a response.
Mm. No, it's the other porn streams. Yeah.
So Nintendo were not very happy that people were putting porn on Splatoon 3.
Naughty.
Kind of funny, though.
Thank you, Ashton.
That's okay.
Thanks, Ashton.
My weird news comes from Charlotte Reynolds at Charnfook on Twitter. Thanks, cool. Charlotte. And this is from Game Rant. I reject all of your cookies. Thank you. Doom fan gets the game to run in Notepad. And we're going to see how many places. Well, what do you think the next place Doom is going to end up running? Because we've catalogued quite a few now.
Has it been on a pregnancy test
yet? Yeah, it has been on a pregnancy test. I don't know.
Maybe on a bus.
On the front of a bus.
Oh, yeah, the little display screen. That would be good. A modder has managed to get the original Doom to run in Windows Notepad, showing evidence of it playing in real time and at 60 frames per second. As one of the most iconic, it's going to tell us what Doom is now. Telling that it's primitive, so it's been ported to it. There we go. God, two paragraphs. YouTube user Samperson is no exception in this. In a recent tweet, they showed that it's possible to get Doom up and running in Notepad with a brief clip showing the game playing in real time. The modder insists this has not been achieved through some form of fakery, adding that they'll release the mod soon. They've also uploaded the clip to YouTube in high definition, inviting naysayers to examine the footage frame by frame to make sure that there have been no tricks in making the mod. Quite how they've managed to achieve this is not known right now, but hopefully Samperson will offer up a how-to at some point.
Some people are so clever.
And then there's two and a half more paragraphs about what Doom is, and I'm not going to read any more of it because that is padded. Mm. What's up, Ashton?
I was going to say, like, some people are so clever and have, like, these real weird skills. And you just think, hey, why didn't you use something useful with it?
Yeah. It's like all those hackers who bring down Overwatch. And you're like, can you imagine what good you would do if you deleted everyone's student finance information. You know,
if you're going to commit a crime, commit a big crime.
Be Robin
least.
Hood.
Yeah.
Be the cool ones. Yeah. Don't be a villain.
No.
Rubbish. Well, that's weird news. It's time for question three.
Fergus Jeffs got in touch and said,
Jogus Feffs.
Hey, dudes. I spent the past weekend testing out my two old Game Boy Colors as I am looking to sell one of them in the near future. As I picked up my GBCs for the first time in over a decade and playtested my, to be fair, not great library of games, I found particular enjoyment in Toy Story 2 and Monsters, Inc., two licensed side-scrolling platformers based on popular Pixar movies. This leads me to my question. Licensed or movie tie-in games are often looked down upon as cheap cash grabs, but which movie tie-in games have you personally found particular enjoyment in while playing? Thank you, Fergus.
Thanks, Fergus.
Thank you, Jurgis.
I quite like the PS1 Toy Story 2 game.
You've played quite a lot, haven't you? You've had a lot of movie tie-in PS1 games.
Yeah, I liked the Toy Story game, although I've not actually played that properly in full. I've played a demo of it, and I played a bit of it at a friend's house, but I never owned it. But I'm aware that is sort of popularly described as a very good movie tie-in game. Mm. But one that I really did enjoy on PS2 is Peter Jackson's King Kong. And it often comes very close to the top of lists and articles, listicles and things about the best movie tie-in games of all time. It's really nicely presented, quite a good graphical style. There's like minimal HUD, or there's basically no HUD all the way through. You don't have a crosshair. So it's a first-person shooter. And then also sometimes you play as Kong, but you're playing as the guy, Jack. And it's an FPS. You don't even have a crosshair. You just use like your iron sights and stuff. And it doesn't show you how much ammo you've got in the corner. You have to, if you want to know how much ammo, you press the check ammo button and he like takes the magazine out of his gun and he like looks and counts and then he puts it back in. Mm. And instead of having to do that all the time, it's a bit more sort of natural and like kind of immersive. So you'll be like fighting and he'll just occasionally say to himself, oh, I've got two magazines left in my pocket or whatever. So it's just kind of, it's an interesting experience. It's quite cinematic, I think, which for a movie tie-in game is probably a very good thing to try and aim for.
It's also got a fantastic name as well. Peter Jackson's King Kong, the official game of the movie.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But yeah, really good game. Enjoyable. I've thought about streaming it for a long time and I probably will do eventually. And I want to stream the Toy Story 2 game as well. Ashton, you played any good movie tie-in games?
I don't know if they count because they're Lego games, but I really, really enjoyed Lego Indiana Jones. Me and my sister used to play that on the Wii all the time. It was like our favorite game. Mm-hmm. There was this one particular character that would like swan dive every time like you made him jump. He'd like go like head first. And we used to be like, shouts one live at each other every time, and it's like one of my favorite memories as a child.
Thank you, Harrison Ford.
Thanks, Harrison Ford. And I also really like the Lego Harry Potter games. I also had those on the Wii, and I really enjoyed them. I really like the Lego games. Not so much the new Star Wars game. That was a bit naff, considering how much time and effort they put into it.
How much crunch went into it.
But I really enjoyed those games. There's not very many like movie tie-in games that I kind of have played or remember playing. I played The Lion King on Game Boy Advance. What one do I have?
The Advance SP, yeah. Is that the one you gave me?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Advance.
I had the Lion King game on that, and that was hard, but I enjoyed playing that. But also, I kind of enjoyed the Narnia game when I was younger, which you guys have played on Worst Games Ever.
Throw your sister around.
Yeah. But I don't think I ever finished that because I think it was too hard. Same with Golden Compass. I really enjoyed the Golden Compass game, apart from when it got too hard. And then
isn't there a bit in the movie of that where the bear's jaw like gets ripped off?
Yeah, yeah. And he also is holding a child as his, like, because all the people have like animal pets that are like their familiars.
Demons.
And the bear wants one. And he basically has a child in his hand. He basically is just kind of like fluffing around, and the kid's just like ragdolling.
Nice.
So, yeah.
It's kind of dark, isn't it?
It's kind of dark. Yeah. And they never made a second or third Golden Compass movie. They were going to, and then they just didn't.
It's interesting that you like the Narnia game, because that was actually a TT Games precursor to the Lego.
A lot of Lego
style.
DNA in there.
Yeah,
there is. Yeah. So, yeah. Those are the games that I remember playing.
And you reminded me that the PS1 Harry Potter games exist.
I was going to say you liked those.
And also you like Bugs Life as well, right?
I mean, I don't think that's like actually a good game necessarily. It's a game that I had growing up. I really enjoyed Bugs Life, but it's not that good.
My boyfriend really likes the Bugs Life games.
Yeah.
I had Ant Bully as well.
Ant Bully. We played Ant Bully on Worst Games.
You did, and I also had that game.
Oh, we did, yeah. Yeah. I really struggled with this because I feel like I didn't have a lot of licensed movie games growing up. But one that I did, and one that I know Peter is a fan of, is Episode One, The Phantom Menace.
Oh, yeah. That's another one
on PS1, which for the longest time I found really hard and also didn't really understand what I was meant to do, because it gives you so much agency to kind of just go where you want and do what you want. You want to murder some people in the Naboo City? Not Naboo, sorry, the Gungan City.
Well, you can do it in Naboo.
You can,
yeah.
Just murder people everywhere. It's really bizarre. There's loads of secrets and stuff. I remember I did get stuck in Naboo because it was one of those classic old video game issues where it's just the way it's presented makes it kind of unclear about where you're meant to go. And I just couldn't proceed. And then I realized, there's a button I'm going to press. I couldn't see the button. And then you got to jump across the waterfall or something.
Yeah.
There's like things that come out that you jump on. Couldn't work out how to make that happen for the longest time. But I have very fond memories of that in all of its blocky glory. But I think that's kind of it. I don't think I had any kids movie tie-in games, really, animated ones or anything like that.
I'm glad you guys are here, because you basically gave me a whole bunch of all those ones.
When I saw this,
Peter's
going to have no problem at all.
Well, I think I've sort of purged the idea of the movie tie-in game from my head, because that's what I'm writing at the moment for some of the weirdest ones on PS1. And there's some just horrendous stuff. And so I've kind of thought, movie tie-in games are rubbish, aren't they? And kind of just pushed them all out of my brain. But yeah, there are some very good ones.
I had a High School Musical Sing It. That was a movie tie-in game.
Nice.
We had to sing it of the High School Musical songs. They were pretty good.
Which is the one we played the Sing Star of? Or not Sing Star, but what was it?
Disney. Just Disney Sing It, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, might have just been Disney Sing It. There might have been a High School Musical on there.
There probably was, yeah.
Yeah, there was certainly a Billy on there.
Yeah. Scandal Pain.
That's where he came from. right. Well, it's time to move on to something rather large.
Get ready to stack.
It's called
noisily.
Big news.
The big discussion.
Big discussion.
It's big discussion time. Time for the big discussion. Thank you to Jack Bradshaw for submitting this question. Howdy, Bap. Hope you're all well. What are your thoughts on the trailer that dropped for the Super Mario movie coming next year? Has it surpassed any expectation you may have had of the film? Or are there any concerns that you have come to mind from watching it? Thank you, Jack. I have written no notes for this one.
No, I nearly didn't either.
It looks fine.
Right? I think it looks really good visually. Yeah. Like, I think it looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
I was like quite impressed by all the character models and the vibe that it had, but I also wasn't expecting it to look bad because Illumination are a really good animated movie studio.
What have they done before?
Despicable Me.
Oh, okay.
And the Minion movies, and probably some other ones that I can't think of off the top of my head, but they have notoriously done quite a lot of really good movies.
Nice.
At least ones that have monetarily done very well. So I thought it was going to look great. So I was impressed by the way that it looked, for sure.
It didn't surpass any expectations I had, because I expected the bits that were good or fine to be fine. So I was like, okay. I was like, yeah, that's what I thought it would be. So I thought it would probably look quite nice.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think it was going to be a Sonic the Hedgehog situation where Mario was going to look absolutely terrible.
Where's his ass though?
Well, yeah, where is his bunda? I don't know. I thought he was going to look okay, and he does look okay. I think maybe his textures are a bit strange because you're so used to seeing him so smooth and like,
yeah.
And now he's got like bits of actual kind of stitching and stuff. It's like, oh, okay. But yeah, that's fine. Even like some people were like saying, oh, Jack Black's done a great job, hasn't he? Sounds amazing. I was like, he sounds fine. I wasn't like blown away by Jack Black's Bowser. Like, he's done a good job. That's
I mean, Jack Black is just a really good character actor. So I was never expecting his part of the movie to be bad, because he's just a great all-rounder, really.
Yeah, which brings us on to the one other expectation I had, which was for Chris Pratt's, his so-called voice, to be rubbish. And it was. I mean, it wasn't dire, but it's just not Mario. Like, why has he been cast in that role?
That was it, really. I think that's the only conversation that can really come from this.
Yeah.
Because it looked like the humor looked good. I was happy. Like, the penguins, the penguin stuff was really good. Enjoyed that. Yeah. Bowser was great. All the voices we heard were great. The presentation is great. I like I mean, I don't really understand from the trailer, but maybe it's just a case that... or maybe it is the case that Mario has been plonked in there for the first
time.
So
my boyfriend
from New York,
as soon as we watched it, was like, here's what I think the story is going to be about. He thinks that it's going to start off with Mario in the old like arcade Donkey Kong situation.
Right.
Like, he's there, and that's when we'll meet Donkey Kong, Seth Rogen, probably be only in that place. And then he ends up like... he falls through a tube and ends up in the Mushroom Kingdom.
Very much a Wreck-It Ralph.
And it's Mario's first time in the Mushroom Kingdom as Mario, because he's been in the Donkey Kong like universe.
Yeah,
okay.
That's what he thinks the story is.
That certainly seemed to be he certainly didn't seem to know where he was.
No.
Let's put it that way. But my point was going to be that everything seemed to be fine. And I am no huge fan of Mario. Mm. I'm no huge fan of video game movies. I probably won't see this in the cinema.
Lies. We're all going to go see it.
If we all go and see it, I'm well up for it.
We went to the Uncharted movie. We're all going to go see this movie.
Okay, well, we didn't all go and see the Sonic movie, my point.
No, that's
so true. I don't really... I'm not really fussed. The only point of contention for anyone, I think, coming out of this was, what is Chris Pratt going to sound like? That's the only reason I would have maybe watched the trailer if Chris Pratt wasn't in it. Just out of like, oh, okay,
yeah,
well, let's see how this looks, with no interest in ever going to see it. But the fact that Chris Pratt was in there and all the memes surrounding it, I feel like this is the main reason most people watched this trailer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, Chris Pratt is in it because the film needs a leading man, I suppose.
And because he's got a big name, and people will go.
And because he's so cool,
he's so cool.
They don't have enough star power in it already, apparently.
No. With Jack Black
and Keegan Michael Key,
Seth Rogen,
yeah.
Anya Taylor Joy,
and who else is in it?
What's his face from Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Charlie Day,
He
just kind of speaks. Which is fine. Now, I only watched it once, but it did sound to me that he was putting on a bit of a New York twang.
Yeah,
like a tiny sort of baboni kind of...
Yeah, a little baboni.
There's
in
a little
there.
Baboni twist in there.
Like he's walking here.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Mario, I'm walking here, but he's not...
Over to the Mushroom Kingdom.
All toasters, toast.
Hey, where am I?
Is Luigi going to speak in the same accent?
No.
Are they biological brothers?
As he was running, he only sort of did a few sort of mouth sounds, didn't he? But it sounded like he was a bit
oh, falsetto.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Mickey Mouse there. There's a bit of Mickey Mouse. Going, oh,
yeah.
Which is more what I would expect.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm sure we all saw the French dub.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I
did.
That?
And it's just that's so like good. Mario.
Yeah.
You know, he's going, oh, Le Mushroom Kingdom. or whatever.
Okie dokie.
I don't know if it's the way that they, you know how sometimes in trailers they like cut a voice line that they've recorded that they've like cut a chunk out so mm-hmm. it's like fits
so
in the trailer.
Together.
They did it a lot with Morbius, the trailer, and that really annoyed me. I don't know if they just cut this line weird because it was for the trailer and they were like, let's just say, have him say off to the Mushroom Kingdom or whatever. But it sounded so weird. Like it sounded so stilted and strange.
If
and
they
I
did that. They're stupid
well,
because
this is
they
my thing.
They know what a big fixation
yeah, exactly.
the internet has with what this voice. And he said, "You're going to be blown away."
Yeah, this is
Chris
like
Pratt.
Nothing you've ever heard before. And yeah. I'm like, "Hey, Chris Pratt, I've heard you speak before."
Sounds
and
like Chris Pratt.
It sounds
like
sound
New
like,
York
hey, like
sort of Chris Pratt.
But the one thing that I have. That I do think is good that's come out of this is there's been a lot of discourse about voice actors and established video game voice actors because people are like, I don't want Mario to sound like a squeaky high-pitched man the whole time. I don't want to watch that. And they're like, Charles Martinet is a talented man who does lots of voices for lots of different things. He could tone down Mario and make it a palatable for a movie if he needed to, if they wanted to employ him to do that. The reason they didn't employ him is because they wanted the star power of Chris Pratt. Because if they've got Chris Pratt, people who don't necessarily care for Mario, but for some reason are a Chris Pratt stan, they can go and watch it and enjoy the movie because Chris Pratt's in it. That's the reason that Charles Martinet is not Mario. It's not because he's not talented enough to make Mario toned down. Yeah, he's not cool enough. Basically,
do you reckon we could get like an Australian English or a British English or a Canadian English dub? Like, you know, we've got the French dub, we've got the US English dub, and we got the Canadian English dub.
Where's
our
English?
The Canadian English dub is
the Mushroom Kingdom.
Yeah, yes, we get Greg Davis.
Where am I?
We get Greg Davis as the British. No, I meant
oh my
to
God,
try
I would
and
love that.
Backdoor Charles Martinet into the movie yeah. by him being the official Canadian English
yeah.
dub because they so. Need their own one because it's a complex market. Two languages there.
I just wish that they'd like given him this. Like he's been so key in everything they've done. Like he's such a key part of Mario who he is, and it's just so sad that they've just given it to this random guy
Charles,
who sounds like Chris Pratt.
I think Charles Martinet will be okay having
yeah, he will,
voiced
but it's,
Mario for,
yeah,
for
I
however
know that,
long
but
and
like,
going forwards, but
it's just mad that they've just been like, hey, he's Chris Pratt now. Mario
well,
is Chris Pratt now.
There's also been all the discourse about like whether it matters, kind of whether a voice actor has played the game or not or cares about the franchise. And there's been comparisons between, who was it who voiced Sonic? I have absolutely no idea.
Oh, here. Yeah, I
Ben
can't
Schwartz.
Remember. Yeah, Ben Schwartz, that's him.
At like a red carpet event or something, I guess maybe the launch of the movie, and someone's saying, how do you feel about it? And he's like really enthusiastically saying, oh, it's such an honor. I used to play that game all the time. And he's like saying specific stuff where you can clearly see he played a lot of Sonic as a child. And then there's like
Chris
a
Pratt's
clip
like...
of Chris Pratt going, oh,
I
yeah,
loved it.
Loved Mario, had a great time, you know.
Stomping on all of those Koopas.
Koopas.
Like the way
he
that he hesitates. Phrases. I also felt the same. Like, I was like, he's never played a Mario game in his life. The man doesn't know what Mario is.
He may well, you know, it might just be a bad clip and stuff. And, you know, you can't just take one clip of him on some kind of Skype interview versus, you know, the guy at the actual, potentially at the Sonic premiere and saying, oh, look, but...
It makes me sad in a way because Chris Pratt, with everything he does, makes himself... harder and harder to support or enjoy.
Yeah.
And I really rate Chris Pratt as a comedic actor. And I'm consistently so disappointed
let down.
By everything that he does, both professionally and in his personal life.
Yeah.
It's just, man, what a shame.
Yeah.
But the movie will be great. I am sure the movie will be great. Chris Pratt will put in a performance that is at least passable, but maybe not Mario, but it will be acted, full stop.
Yeah.
And that will be fine.
He will voice act.
He will voice act. Mario will have a voice, yeah. But it won't sound like the Mario we know and love.
No.
And that's going to be weird. It's going to sell a lot of tickets probably on that fact alone because, hey, how bad can it be?
That's the thing.
As soon
it?
As it gets a digital release, the amount of clips that are going to flood the internet
yeah.
Where people are just ragging on it is... I almost feel bad for the other amazing actors in the movie as well because the conversation's just been dominated by Chris Pratt's just doing a Chris Pratt voice.
I've come up with a fan casting of... the British version that you so want to see. Yeah. I want Russell Brand to play Mario.
Yeah.
He can go falsetto, can't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
He'll do it.
Yeah. I can't even do a Russell Brand impression anymore. He's been that irrelevant in my life for so long.
I think Greg Davies would be a good Bowser.
Yeah. Yeah, I just picked Greg Davies out of midair. There's nothing. Maybe we should get, what's his name? What's he called? The chef.
Gordon Ramsay.
No, the one who's often the Italian
Gino
chef.
Gino
DiCampo, yeah. To do the British dub.
Yeah.
If my
grandpa had wheels, she would have been a bike.
Yeah, I would love that.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Okay, well, you got anything else to say about the Mario movie?
Nope. I've just put sigh.
Chris Pratt,
sigh. And then I didn't finish writing the sentence on
good
dialogue about.
Good dialogue about.
I'll wear that out later.
I meant to put voice actors, but I must have just got distracted.
Doesn't matter. Mm. Doesn't really matter, does it? No. Well, thank you so much for listening, everybody. Let us know what your thoughts are in the comments below. What was the revenue of this podcast? What was the profit? Who knows?
$2.9 billion.
Let us know. Peter's going to tell you where you can find us on the internet in various places. Hang around to the end because we've got some things to talk about.
We have $2.9 billion.
Oh,
yeah.
Very nice.
Good one.
Hello. Come to youtube.com and twitch.tv/TeamTripleJump to see all of our content. That's just actual, normal, regular, plain videos and live stuff too. Whoa. What's that about?
Rock out.
What are you doing that for?
Mm. If I put my other finger up, it would be a swear. I thought there was going to be a third thing, so I was going to do them in a certain order.
Oh, right.
Otherwise, I'd be flipping off the audience.
Well, let me think of a third thing. That's videos, live streams, and then sometimes on the YouTube community tab, we put a thumbnail out saying this video is coming soon.
Yeah.
So posts as well.
There you go. There's three.
Twitter.com and Facebook.com/TeamTripleJump for video and live stream announcements. Legacy video content, little bits of polls and things and memes, video game news as well now gets posted on there. It's all looked after by Fraser. He does a great job. Thank you, Fraser.
He does.
TikTok.com/@TeamTripleJump for our TikTok. We don't tick or talk often at the moment.
Yeah,
and
Ashton,
maybe we should. Ashton, will you do some more TikToks?
You're on TikTok all the time. Can you do some TikToks?
Yeah, I'll do some
work?
TikToks at work.
Yeah, yeah, good.
You'll literally be getting paid.
You let me scroll through TikTok at work?
No. I want you to scroll through TikTok as much as you do outside of work and then bring some ideas to work to make your own TikToks.
Cool. Okay.
Sorry.
And patreon.com/TeamTripleJump, where for various amounts of money, you can unlock various rewards. So go and have a look at all of the options available to you. Including listening to the extra podcast we're about to record after this one.
Yes.
We have a website. It's triplej.mup, it spells jump. It's very clever. If you'd like to join our Discord and chat with our wonderful community, you can go to triplej.mup/Discord. On Discord, we're modded by Jack, Joe, Tori, and Hollow Eyes. And so to do something, bloody well do it. If you want to listen to the podcast in its audio form as well, go to triplej.mup/podcast. If you want to catch up on one of the live stream VODs that you've missed this week, go to triplej.mup/VODs. And if you want to book a cameo from us, you can go to triplej.mup/cameo. It's us three and James Jenkins. If you'd like to check that out. Also, there is potentially, well, there is, we filmed the merch ad this week, some new merch coming very soon.
Yeah, when's that going out? Do we know?
The ad, I'll be able to finish it today, but whether it goes out today or it might go out because our merch man likes us to launch during a joint stream, doesn't he? I think historically we've
yeah, just so we can give it some promotion.
So maybe if I get that finished at lunchtime
now, It's out there now. You can buy some now, or it might be next week.
Yeah.
But either way, you'll see it on Twitter, and also if you're following at Triple Jump Shop on Twitter, you'll see it already. So why not go to triplejumpshop.com to check out the new merch.
Also, you should follow Peter Austin and Ashton Matthews on Twitter and Instagram at that Peter Austin and at Scrambled Ashton, and myself just on Twitter at confused_dude. We do lists every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Streams every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Thursday being the joint stream.
Blaze it.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday being solo streams on Twitch. Worst Games Ever is fortnightly Friday for patrons of a certain tier, Sunday for everyone else. The podcast is every Saturday and we do shows all the bloody time, so come check them out. Can I turn the page? Yes, I can. There we are. Why not leave a 5-star review on your platform of choice? It helps something to do with Al Gore's rhythms and would really, really appreciate it. Lots of stuff out this week.
Yeah.
That says weirdest games ever, but it's actually a worst games ever week this week, isn't it? What have you played?
Backyard Wrestling 2. : There Goes the Neighborhood.
There Goes the Neighborhood, yeah. I think. Yeah, that's a strange one and kind of bad.
Yeah,
so you should look forward to watching that.
And we found a way to just instantly win all the way through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They can't fight back if they're dead. So, you know. There was a quip scope about Lego Brick Tales. I'm not sure if that went on the audio feed. I might have to sort that out when we get back.
Oh, yeah. I always forget about that.
So we'll sort that'll be on the audio feed now if you're listening to this podcast. And the big one, Tat is now open.
Now,
I want to stress before we talk about the TAT appeal in more detail that we are acutely aware that there is a cost of living crisis at the moment and that your priority should always be you and yours, and we should be a distant last place. However, if you do want to send us some TATs to be unboxed in the TAT appeal, you can now do that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Don't feel bad if you can't.
No.
We completely understand.
Your support by listening to this and watching this is more than enough.
Yeah, exactly.
The address is not on screen because that's extra effort for our editors, and you might not even be watching on YouTube, but the address is on screen on YouTube in a video that went out on Friday.
Yeah.
We may also pop the address in the description of this podcast if you want to copy and paste it from there. And I believe the closing date is the
18th of November.
There you go.
Yeah.
So you've got a little while.
Make sure you get the right postage. We go through all the details in the video, but please put enough stamps on there for it to get here, because we can't pay any extra, unfortunately.
No, we cannot. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. We appreciate all of you. There's just enough time for Peter to talk about the ad read once more.
Hey, want to go break your spine and also wear a jumper and get bitten by bugs?
Bugs.
ItchCon. It's not happening. Itch. Thank what God. Is it?
What is it?
I don't know. It's not. It's a lie.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.